the police took 4 or 5 shots at him for no reason. Oh my God, please don't tell me he's dead. Please don't tell me my boyfriend just went like that.
Hey, boss.
You will see with your own eyes how he was handled unjustly.
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV. We are in Las Vegas at Freedom Fest, and we are talking to Neil Franklin. He's the executive director of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, LEAP. He's a former Maryland State Trooper and officer of training for the city of Baltimore. Neil, thanks for talking to us.
Always great to talk to you, Nick.
We are in a situation where police and community relations seem to be at an all-time low. When you look at groups like Gallup and other polling organizations show a decline in the level of trust and confidence that people have in law enforcement. When you look at what happened in Louisiana and Minnesota recently, where police shot and killed either unarmed or passive people, are people right to be skeptical of the way that police interact with them?
You know, in talking about these issues, we tend to go back maybe a year or two. But that's not what it's really about. It's about decades of problem policing in communities of color and poor communities. Yes, race is a big part, and the communities of races, it's a big part to it, but it's also a class issue as well. Historically in this country, the police have never really been the friends of the black community. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, we're only a couple hundred years of that out of slavery. You know, in the slave patrols, mainly in the South, of rounding up, you know, runaway slaves and so on. And much of our policing was born out of that, especially in the South. Post-slavery, we had Jim Crow laws, were laws which still enabled us to imprison black citizens, you know, for not having a home, not having a job, vacancy. Coming forward today, look at the war on drugs, which you can't have. You can only have a war on people.
Overwhelmingly, and it might just be the recent examples, but typically you're pulled over in a car because right. You have something wrong. Then you get a ticket. Then that ticket gets a fine attached to it when you don't pay it because you don't have money or you don't go to court. Have we shifted out of, you know, or added to the war on drugs then as a means of social control, a kind of over-policing of,
well, police have
of
always,
driving?
Police have always been tax collectors. And unfortunately, certain communities bear that burden more than others. You know, $250 fine doesn't mean much to people who have money. Pay the fine and I go on. I get another one tomorrow, so no big deal. But when you enforce these policies in poor communities, a $100 fine can devastate a family, not just a person. Then what happens when you don't pay it? Okay, when you don't pay it, it affects your driver's license, typically. They suspend it. You got to drive to go back and forth to work to pay the $100 fine that you got, but you just weren't able to pay it in time or whatever. Now you get stopped again.
Do police, I mean, do they systematically, are they trained or do they do it out of habit? Do they pull over
bad cars? We use traffic and, stops with a broken tail light. Come on, a tag light out. Yeah. You know, you drifted out of your lane. We use that as a tool to search. We use that as a tool to look for guns, to look for drugs, see if you're wanted for a crime. Basically, at the end of the day, what it boils down to is harassment.
You know, in Dallas, during a Black Lives Matter protest against police brutality, 5 Dallas policemen were killed. As a former police officer, when you hear something like that, like, how does that make you feel?
The Dallas situation, one of the first things, in addition to feeling the pain of the families of those 5 police officers, in addition to feeling that, the other thing that came to mind was the disservice that we have done to our police brothers and sisters in this country. And when I say we, I'm talking about our politicians. And I'm talking about the policies that we have passed and continue to pass, such as drug prohibition, where we're trying to solve a public health crisis with criminal justice solutions, and our cops are the tip of the spear. And we have this conflict in community as we stop them, whether they're driving, walking, to search them, pull their pockets inside out, stop and frisk in New York when we know the disaster that was. Our police are put in harm's way, not just with each encounter, but in black, brown, and poor communities, the police are despised for doing this work. And the police leaders require this of these men and women. It's a numbers game.
So it's
to satisfy the politicians.
So I mean, if you know, and obviously speaking broadly here, but you know, if cops had their choice, they wouldn't be going after.
If cops had their choice, we'd be going after murderers, rapists, robbers, helping families with domestic violence issues. We'd be going after people who are targeting and hurting people, not trying to be someone's guardian. We don't want to be, you know, now don't get me wrong, as a member of a community, yes, we become mentors. We become teachers for young people. We even become somewhat of a social worker from time to time, but it shouldn't be your duty. You know, we shouldn't be doing the things that others should, where others should have that responsibility.
Are you optimistic about the future? I mean, we are seeing discussions and movement on criminal justice reform, sentencing reform. Places in the country have repealed marijuana prohibition. It looks like California probably will. Is the war on drugs ending? Are you optimistic that we're entering a phase that where cops will be asked to do less dumb things?
What we're seeing now with marijuana reform, the attention that's being brought to heroin, still there's some problem areas there, but we're starting to see people look at this as a health issue for what it is with some of the harder drugs. With marijuana, they're realizing that, hey, let's end it, let's move. I didn't expect it, along with other members of LEAP, we didn't expect this to happen in our lifetime. So we're very happy about that, and we see great movement there. As it relates to policing in this country, we need a completely new model of policing. It's like what we have now is not like trying to fix a broken car. This car was a used car in the first place, as I was saying before, going back to post-slavery. It was a used car in the first place. It never did work. We were constantly trying to repair it and tinker with it. You know, it comes a time in your life where you say, you know, I got to get rid of this. I need a new car with a warranty and something that's going to do what needs to be done to get me from point A to point B.
What are the preconditions to have an honest conversation about that where, you know, both blacks and whites and other, you know, ethnic groups, poor and rich, can start to rebuild trust and confidence both in the institution of poor communities, you know, that these are people who can actually take care of themselves and live meaningful lives, and also, most importantly, police and law enforcement. What are the preconditions to have that kind of reboot that you're talking about?
Well, the first thing we need is a reconciliation. And I say that it should come from the police first. It needs to come from many different places, but it needs to come from our politicians and the police first. Why? Because we have the power. And it's more than a conversation. We really need to communicate to the point where we really understand the perspectives. We understand the perspectives of people in black, brown, and poor communities and what they're dealing with. They understand what we're faced with in policing and the policies and things that we are tasked with enforcing. And then we all need to work together, not just participate, but to commit.
Can I ask as a final question, what's your opinion of Black Lives Matter? Do you think they are a force for starting this conversation, or are they, you know, a lot of conservatives certainly, but even a lot of people on the left seem to really dislike Black Lives Matter. What do you think?
They're focusing on the lives, and when I say lives of blacks, at the hands of government, they're not just talking about deaths. They're talking about being able to thrive as a people within their communities. So they're talking about the lack of proper health care. They're talking about nutrition. They're talking about housing and all of those things. What they're really saying is black lives matter too, but the data doesn't reflect that. Whether we're talking about the deaths of black people, whether we're talking about the health of black people, at every turn when you look at the data, the education of black people, when you look at the data and the resources available to black people and the thriving of the black community, it's clear that black lives don't matter as much as white lives. And here's the best way I can put it. Obviously, I'm a black male. And I've had my challenges from being a kid all the way up to now with being stopped, interactions with the police, and so on. But I can't even relate to many of my black brothers and sisters in these impoverished communities. So I even owe it to them to listen, to understand more of the situation and the conditions, because I come from a different economic level. So if I, being a black male, have to stop and listen, and truly listen, to folks from Black Lives Matter who are feeling, I mean, why can't everyone else?